My name is Christopher Ashcraft. I was born on January 20th, 1985, the day of Ronald Reagan's second term inauguration. I live in Washington, D.C., and I am a project manager at CRDF Global, working on the Iraq portfolio. As a kid, I mean, I knew it was Inauguration Day, but I was always more excited because every few years it would land on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which was a bigger deal for me because, you know, we learned all about him in school and how great of a man he was and what he fought for and stood for. And I guess it wasn't until later that the significance of, you know, Inauguration Day on my birthday really did kick in, besides being overshadowed by the president, which I can give him, you know, every 4 years. That's fine. I just think it's an interesting time, a way to, like, mark off stages in my life. I was born in Salem, Ohio, and as a kid, I moved around a lot. I never spent more than 5 years in any location. My parents are pastors in the Salvation Army, so every few years they would get transferred to a new church assignment. I moved around a few places in Ohio, to Portland, Maine, to Long Island, New York, and then finally to Rockland County, New York. I grew up with both of my parents, an older brother, and a dog in typical, like, middle-class suburban lifestyle. You know, we never had a whole lot of money, but it was never particularly tight. I never realized that maybe we didn't have much money until I moved to Rockland County, New York, and got to high school where kids would talk about, you know, having cleaning ladies or nannies or au pairs. Only then, I guess, did I actually realize that maybe either I wasn't as normal as I had thought, or I had moved somewhere where, you know, it was a very different socioeconomic area. Rockland County is located across the Hudson River from Westchester County, and it borders Bergen County in New Jersey. It's about 20 miles northwest of New York City. In one sense, my parents had more opportunity just because of the way that the country was back, you know, in the, I guess, 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. I don't know how much they actually took advantage of it. Neither of my parents went to college until they were adults. They both went back for their degrees. In another sense, maybe I had more opportunity just because, you know, they came from a, like, close, loving families too, but, you know, I had that. I was raised that way. But I was also raised, you know, outside of New York City and had that at my doorstep. And it was also in a time when, you know, the world was very different from the world that they lived in. So much smaller, so many more opportunities to do things abroad and to learn about different things that, you know, maybe people didn't especially care about back, you know, in the time that my parents were growing up. Well, both of my parents, I think they both started university after high school, but neither of them finished. They left to go to seminary school. And I think got married right out of seminary school, the ages of maybe 23 or so. After that, they had my brother 2 years later, and then 2 years after that, they had me. And so that's been their whole life. They've been doing that since they were 23, and now they're in their mid-50s. and neither of my parents had ever really left the country or even considered leaving the country, really. I do travel for my job. I go every few months to Jordan or Iraq, to Baghdad. And I mean, even outside of work, I always try to travel. I didn't study abroad during college, but I did a lot of work at university just with the international kids and the foreign exchange students. I sort of served as a mentor and culture sharer. But then after college, I had applied for Peace Corps. Didn't actually go because I took a job in Boston, but after a year of that, I actually quit the job and moved to Egypt to teach English for a year. And that was the first, I had traveled abroad one other time to England to visit my cousin, but this was the first time I'd actually done something, you know, big and unique and different, and, you know, spent a significant amount of time outside of the country. Had the opportunity to actually really travel beyond just, you know, visiting a Western country. Even if it was to, as my dad termed it, the torture capital of the world. He asked me when I was, you know, thinking about going, why I would want to leave the United States, where I have everything I could ever want. Well, education was always very important to my family. Growing up, that was, you know, always the emphasis was on, you know, getting good grades, studying, doing your homework, taking your tests, passing the standardized tests, always with the view of you're going to go to college, which I was completely on board with. You know, everyone told me that college was the best time of your life, so I bought into it, and it was. It was a great time. so I went to Boston College, and it had a price tag of somewhere in the vicinity of maybe $45,000 a year, $50,000 a year, which is more than my parents make annually. So I knew college would be difficult to afford. And so throughout high school, I actually worked two jobs my junior and senior year. I worked retail at our local mall, and then I also worked as a security guard at a seminary school, just always saving my money for college. And then I had to take out a lot of loans. I did get a pretty good grant from my university for financial aid. But I want to say I took out about $50,000 in loans just for my undergraduate degree. And also I had to work throughout college. I worked at a video store. I worked at a dry cleaners, and I worked at our school bookstore, all at the same time while, you know, balancing classes and everything else. And that was just to, you know, eke by. And, you know, after I did apply for the Peace Corps after college, and one of the reasons I didn't take it was because I had all these stupid student loans just riding on me. And they were like, oh, you can defer your loans, but they would still be, you know, accruing interest and just costing me way more money. So that's, I ended up taking a job that I wasn't too thrilled about, but it would pay my loans. And that's something that I really, you know, needed to do. And this was also a consideration when I went and got my master's degree. I had applied for my master's programs while I was abroad in Cairo, in Egypt. And I actually got into some really good programs in the United States. Some of the top ones actually in international relations. But when I received my financial aid packages, I was looking at $120,000 worth of student loans. And I had been volunteering for a year abroad and had nowhere near, you know, that amount of money to pay. And I knew that a, you know, debt of $120,000 on top of my other student loans was just not feasible, that I would be paying them off till I die. You know, I wouldn't be able to buy a house, probably not even a car. So after a brief panic, I spoke with a bunch of different friends, a lot of friends I had met while abroad, and they pointed me in the direction of European universities. And I applied to a few and was choosing between the University of London's School of Oriental and African Studies, known as SOAS, and St. Andrews in Scotland. And I ended up choosing the University of London, SOAS, to do a master's degree in international studies and diplomacy, as it was just a one-year master's rather than 2 years, and the price tag was about half the cost of 1 year in the United States. And I still had to take out a lot of loans for that, probably about $40,000 or $45,000. So basically my life has come down to just repaying my student loans. But I am better off than I would have been had I gone and, you know, done a program in the United States. Well, I mean, that how I would characterize the arc of America is really based upon, you know, what I've read, because I really don't remember Reagan's second term. I mean, he left office when I was like 4. So, yeah, what I've read, and then what I remember as a kid, probably, I remember some of Bush 1 and some Bill Clinton years, and Bush 2. I don't know, it seemed like back in the 90s and early 2000s that it seemed like there was more opportunity, actually. And it didn't seem as like combative, the political process. I know there were always battles, there was always partisanship, but it never seemed to be as dire as it is now. I mean, we had September 11th, and that changed pretty much everything for our country. And it's when I was coming of age. I was in high school at that point, and you know, that helped shape my worldview and my view of America. Also helped me get an interest in the Middle East and study it and then work, you know, with it now. You know, I can't say I'm optimistic at this point. You know, that the economic collapse really affected me and a lot of my friends. I've moved back in with my parents twice. I know a lot of my friends have too. After degrees, they've taken unpaid internships for months and months, just kind of struggling to get by. I think this year I'm just going to hang out with a few friends, have a few friends over, probably go out and maybe the next day get breakfast. I don't think we're going to, I'm not planning on doing any actual celebration on my birthday itself on Sunday, the 20th. I mean, I know the inauguration ceremony is the 21st, but my understanding is in D.C., it gets absolutely crazy just with different inauguration balls and different events for different organizations, and then the sheer amount of tourists who descend upon the city. So I'm kind of, you know, doing stuff earlier in the weekend with some friends that's a little bit quieter. I'm not planning on going to the parade. I've heard horror stories about the first inauguration. I do plan on watching it, though. I've been talking with my roommates and some of my friends about getting together to watch it, just all together. Because, I mean, it is important, and, you know, if I've been in the country, I've watched the previous inaugurations, too. I had said previously that my parents are pastors with the Salvation Army, and I came out to them, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, so pretty recently. I mean, in terms of, you know, what a lot of people my age have experienced. But I was always kind of wary just, you know, because of their religious background and the religious background of my entire family. But they didn't take it as badly as I thought they would. They're actually very understanding, which I really, really appreciated. and I don't know if that has had an impact on their politics, their personal beliefs or anything. But I'd like to think it has. Maybe that it's humanized the issue for them a little bit more. I know growing up, we didn't come into contact with a lot of gay people. But my parents were always pretty open-minded and always accepting of different people. And it came with the territory. The Salvation Army deals with a lot of social justice issues, and they deal with a lot of people in the community, no matter, you know, who they are, what their beliefs are, what their backgrounds are. So I think I was really lucky in that sense that that's something that my parents have dedicated their lives to. Maybe they're not used to interacting with gay people too much, but now maybe they'll get a little, I don't know, a little more socialized with it. I am so thankful for the healthcare reform. You know, I didn't actually think about healthcare much at all when I was in college. In high school, I was always under my parents' insurance. Then when I graduated college, I lost insurance for a few months. Kind of freaked out because, you know, it was going to cost me an arm and a leg to do anything. I did at one point have to go to the dentist uninsured, and that cost me several hundred dollars that I didn't have. So I was really happy when I did get a job. When I did my master's degree in London, I got to experience universal healthcare, and it was probably my favorite thing ever. It was great. I mean, people over there can have private insurance and private healthcare, but just for anybody to be able to go to the doctor when they need to, get adequate healthcare and cheap medication, it's common sense. And I don't know why America, as the richest country in the world, can't have something similar. and, you know, people over here say our healthcare is so much better. Yeah, it is so much better, but only for those who actually have jobs and have benefits. There's so many people who just don't, and, you know, they work part-time, they don't have health care. What are they supposed to do? So I was really happy to, you know, see that they're inching in the direction of universal health care. I think it's really great. With Obamacare, I was able to get back on my parents' insurance until I was 26, and their open enrollment was January 1st, and I turned 26 on January 20th, and I remember Christmas Eve of that year when I was 25, I got a really bad tonsil infection, and there was a snowstorm, so I couldn't go to the urgent care that was about 40 minutes away, or the like you know, clinic that you pay $40 and see like some sort of a nurse who can give you a prescription. So I had to wait like 5 days in pain, you know, just with over-the-counter things and gargling salt water until I could get back on my parents' insurance and go to the expensive ENT. So, I mean, just from personal experience, you know, I think that's great. And, you know, it's helped so many of my friends too, because so many people are underemployed and just don't have their own health insurance yet.